Good morning, Wynn Dallas. How are you today? Good. Let us all gather here at the front and let's rise and sing worship songs to our Lord. Amen. There's a verse that says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. God needs us to worship Him. He needs worshipers. And it says in this word that if we don't worship Him, He will make the rocks cry out. So let's worship the Lord with all our hearts. Amen. Sing, let everything.
Let everything that, everything that, everything that has breath praise the Lord. Everything that, everything that, everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Praise you in the morning. The next song, it's called Consuming Fire. And some of you might be familiar with this song because we've sung it at church a long time ago. But I want to bring this song up because this song talks about how will we go here at church every day. We come with different attitudes, different hearts. And the song says, there must be more than this. There must be more than this. O breath of God, come breathe within. Spirit of God, we wait for you. And if you look at a couple passages here, in the old times, during the time of Moses and Aaron, our meeting with the Lord was different at that time. It was the Lord showed His presence in a glorious way, in a physical way. So if we look at Leviticus chapter 9, verse 24, it says, once Aaron gave his sacrifice and offerings and prayed and blessed the people, here's what it says. When the Lord, when they blessed the people again, the glory of the Lord appeared to the whole community. Fire blazed forth from the Lord's presence and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When the people saw this, they shouted with joy and fell face down on the ground. And in this separate occasion, during the time of Solomon, it says, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1, when Solomon finished praying, fire flashed down from heaven and burned up the burnt offerings and sacrifices. The glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glorious presence of the Lord filled it. When all the people of the Israel saw the fire coming down and the glorious presence of the Lord filling the temple, they fell face down on the ground and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, He is good. His faithful love endures forever. See, the meeting with God during that time wasn't taken lightly. It wasn't ordinary. It wasn't normal, because God showed His presence through fire coming down, burning up the offerings. And I pray that today that we have that same experience, that we come here with expectant hearts, coming here longing for more passion for the Lord. So here's the song in the bridge. It says, stir up in our hearts, Lord. So this is our prayer. Lord, this is our prayer, Lord. That I know, Lord God, not every day, Lord God, we wake up, Lord, but we wake up having that burning desire, Lord, but we don't want to stay there. We want to come, Lord God, filled with passion, Lord God, for You. Wanting to have more, give more, Lord God. So we ask that Your presence be here, Lord. We ask that Your Holy Spirit come down to this place, Lord God. Lord, we want to worship You, Lord. And I know, Lord God, that You don't want blemished sacrifice or blemished offerings, Lord God. So we want to offer all our best to You, Lord God.
There must be more than this. Oh, breath of God, come breathe within. There must be more than this. Spirit of God, we wait for You. For Would you fall in this place? Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way with us.
Of your way. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, indeed, oh God, the reason why we live, the reason why we are created is to worship the one and only living God. And Father, we honor you today. We magnify your name, oh Holy Father. We thank you, Lord God. Your name is worthy to be praised. Father, we humble ourselves before you, because before you we are nothing. Why are you mindful of us, sinners? But you sent your only living Son to die on the cross for us. That is how much you love us, O Lord. That is how much you care for us. Father, the only thing we can do is truly to honor you, truly to worship you, oh God. To open up our hearts before you, Lord. And to acknowledge, oh God, you, our Abba, our Father. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Please be seated. Good morning, Wind Dallas. How are you guys doing? Amen. Praise God. I know all of you are tired. I can see some yawns and things like that. But we had a great time. Praise God. And today, we come here to worship our living God. And we just thank him for what he has done for us. Amen. It's the first Sunday of the month, and as usual, we're going to do our communion. So may I call on our workers to please distribute that while I read his word in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray. As we give a few minutes and moments to reflect on our lives, the Lord has commanded us to do this in remembrance of him, but yet he also has given us a warning. He says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So again, let us bow down in prayer and just reflect on what the Lord's word has said. Father, as we look deep inside us, oh God, there might be troubles, there might be doubts, there might be sin in us. We remember those two disciples, Lord God, as they were walking in the path and discussing about what has transpired the previous days when you were crucified on the cross. Lord, they were saying, you know, to paraphrase everything that they have said, they're probably thinking, "I thought we had it. He's the King of Kings. He came here, you know, for for our salvation, and yet today he's dead. They had that hope in them. The same thing that we have probably when we received you as Lord and Savior, we have that hope, and yet as we walk along that path of this life, of this world, we somehow develop that kind of doubt. And we focus more on what this world brings rather than what you have brought through the cross. But Father, you have shown yourself to these two disciples. And when Jesus was walking with them, he asked them what they were discussing about. You knew that they were talking about you. And our Lord did not say anything. He just broke the bread with them. And you know what happened? It opened their eyes. It opened their eyes. That indeed what he has promised, on the third day he would rise again. And write it in front of the very eyes is the Son of Man, Jesus himself, revealing himself to them. Just as he is now revealing himself to us, brothers and sisters. Though we encounter so many thorns in our lives that prevents us from growing, and we see ourselves as continually sinning, but there is still hope because Christ, our Lord, has risen from the grave. And he has commanded us to do this, to be aware that he is alive. So again, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time. And once again, we celebrate this together as a body. Let me read that again. For I received from the Lord the which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take it. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the bread. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the juice. Father, indeed, O God, we are so grateful that today, once again, Lord, we remember what you have done on the cross. And though there are struggles in life, Lord God, through that cross alone, you have given us hope. In you, Lord God, we draw our strength. Thank you so much, Lord, for the love that you have shown. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Yes, may I call on someone to just pass the basket? Thank you, Pastor Lucian, for reminding me about that. Once again, brothers and sisters, as we continue to worship God with our tithes and offering, I encourage you also to just write down any prayer requests that you may have, or just go online. You can type in your prayer request through online so we can pray for you guys. I know most of us are continually struggling in this world, and there are ups and downs in our lives. And I've talked to Pastor Lucian about my struggle last night. And if I'm struggling through that, I know most of you guys are also going through some of the same stuff. So let us just lift this in prayer. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for your provision to us. We thank you so much, Lord God, that everything comes from you, Lord God, not on everything that we know or we do, but all belongs to you. So we give, Lord God, of our tithes and offering. Even we lay down before your prayer requests, O God. We know, Lord, that you know all things. And we know also, Lord God, that you are always with us. We pray for our leaders, Lord God, that you continue to give them the wisdom, Lord God, as they use this, Lord, for the furtherance of your kingdom. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Two, three. One, two, three. Okay, I'm going to set this aside. Lara, I can't believe it. You're sitting that far back. Baptist backwards. No. Very first thing, I just want to say I appreciate all the people who had actually come out and celebrated with us, especially Rebecca. She just wanted to share while she's with the kids. I want to share with you that she truly appreciates that you guys were there to celebrate with her. I just want to set aside one more. Thank you, Lloyd and Vivian, for helping us get the pig there. In fact, I call it the pig. I know that lechon is the more appropriate way of saying it. But one of the things that the lady who was actually cutting it, she's Paraguay. Is that Paraguay, ma?
I think she's Paraguay.
Yeah, Paraguay. And so we were very concerned about who would actually chop this up. So when we were meeting with this lady, she said, don't worry, we have this professional. She can do it all. And she did. And in fact, they had a week before our party, they had a Philippine party as well. And one comment that she made, she goes, man, your pig is beautiful. she said there was a lot of meat to that one. In fact, I'm sorry, but she took it home with her. we gave it to her. Number two, this past Friday, we've been very blessed with this one church youth group. And in fact, it's truly, their name is Acts. Since Josh is here, is one of the representatives here. The title of their church is, or the name of their church is Acts. And so what we did was we went to that church, started out. I don't know if that's how they started church as well over there, late. But they just came. And as they came and started singing. And we started worshiping. And so Pastor John Labak went up there, started leading us in worship. And they had a list of all the prayer requests. I think he created those prayer requests. But as people started to pray, we stopped. And we would break into that little quiet mode. And then they would have somebody come up and pray. There's this one lady who actually prayed, which really spoke to me because I know Annie and I, we were debating about this. Sometimes we're afraid. And I don't know. I don't know why we're even afraid to do it in front of our own fellow believers to pray. But there's this one, the pastor's wife came up and started praying. And I realized that the way she was praying spoke to me. And I want to share this just as a side note. That as she was saying all of her words, where her words weren't her words, they were Bible words. She was just re-numerating the words that she already has as part of her heart. And so she was just adding and adding to the words and reminding us of how great God is. You know, God says, pray without ceasing. And she reminds us of that. And here's the unfortunate thing. More unfortunate thing is, after the service, my wife and I started talking about it. And I said to her, I said, how can we be bold? How can we? And I understand her reasons for this, but how can we be as people be afraid to come up and pray amongst God's people. Why would we be intimidated by that? And as she was sharing with me, she was saying, well, it's because I'm not ready yet. I don't have the right words. And so we got in there and we started talking, and I could sense that I knew where she stood. And she was saying to me, I'm just not ready to go up in the front and do that. Similar to Rebecca. And what happened was the final phase of the service was Pastor Labak asked, hey, why don't you guys meet with somebody other than somebody you know? Yeah, but somebody you didn't know. So what happened is Rebecca and Annie faced each other, held their hand together, and she locked on. And they weren't going to talk to anyone else. And they were very, and so we talked about that. And after the service stopped, he asked this. And you know I'm a firm believer of this. He asked, is there anyone here that wants to share anything that they have learned during the week about God? He sat. He walked over here. He said this. And then he sat on the chair and waited. And honestly, that's what it sounded like. It sounded quiet. See, the book of Acts, the chapter, and that's not the topic I'm going to be talking about, but the book of Acts, the reason they grew was because they were bold. They weren't afraid. They knew that the Spirit of God had just come down. Remember, in the book of Acts, he was basically saying, hey, disciples, I want you to go back to Jerusalem and wait for this special thing to happen, because this special thing will do what? It will empower you to do something great and significant. But somehow, from the time 2000 and X years from today, here in our world, the world that we saw 2000 years ago, the excitement that they have for the Word of God, today we see it, and I feel like we're afraid. And I got to be honest, it's rightly so. Today, the Gen Xers, the millennials. This is you guys, the young groups. Today in the job role, and I was talking to my boss about this even beforehand. He goes, it is going to be very difficult to tell you guys what to do. The way you're going to do your job is going to be totally different. In fact, today's most jobs today are now becoming, I'm going to go in when I want to do my job. IT is exactly like that. It doesn't matter when you come in. You could just do your job, get behind a scene in a cubicle or in at home, type up your code, make that happen, and make it work. And they can do it whenever they want. There is no set time. You don't go 8 to 5. Now, you nurses, yes, obviously, people don't die or get sick in your time frame. You have to wait for them. But the point of this statement is that the millennium group is starting to go off in a totally different world that they're no longer can be taught. In fact, one of the things I've noticed about millennium groups, they don't even really talk. I'm going to share this one thing I was been able to actually, it was great. I don't know if you guys did this in your high school at Allen, but they did a really long video. I fell asleep, I got to be honest. But it was a long video about the seniors. And you know what the principal said at the very end of that video? He goes, you know, I want to let you know that in that whole entire video, we weren't doing an ad for Apple. Because everybody everybody was on their iPhone or some form of technology. They had the iPhone on their desk. They had the iPhone in front of their face. It was a part of their lives. It is. You guys don't communicate. I'm fearful of that. I am. In fact, another side note, and then we'll get real quick to the word. Today, there's this piece of item here that feels weird, but it's this book, and I was touching it. I've been actually touching the scripture, but I touched this part of the Bible, and I think to myself, I thought to myself, one day you guys will never feel that again. You won't really feel books. What you're going to feel is this technology you pull out, hot, cold, whatever it may be, but you turn it on, and all you do is use your fingers to move through data, but you will never actually ever. This will become so valuable one day you would want to touch it and feel what a book feels like. Afraid. We're afraid, and I don't understand it. For me, and you're looking at me and say, "Well, look at Pastor Lucian. You're the one who studies the Word, and that's probably the reason why you're a little bit more bolder." And so I was sharing with our staff here, and I consider them my staff, but our music team, and I was sharing with them a story of a man who was saying, and I don't know how many of you guys have heard the story of Moses. When he went up to the mountain. How many of you guys ever read that story? And he went up to the mountain and he met with who? God himself. And when he met with God, he basically said this. He goes, "I want to see you, God. I really want to see you." And so God made that happen. But in order to meet with God, God told Moses to, "Okay, I'm going to go pass by you, but I want you to kind of stay by the cleft of this rock." And the reason that is because if you see me through my true holiness, what happened? What's that, Emily? He's going to die. He's going to die. And so the story is that God revealed himself to Moses, and he has this relationship with Moses, and he saw God for the very first time in a different way. And so I asked you today, how many of you lived through Moses' relationship with God? How many of you read his Bible, read the stories that Moses have written, and he says, "I'm living my experience about God through Moses." Maybe not through Moses. Maybe some of you name your pastor that you are very well acquainted with. Maybe some of you guys are, and I'm going to just toss some words there, Dr. Jeremiah's or a John MacArthur or a Joel Osteen. And you hear these men of God talking about God. And what do? You ask this question, and rightly so. You would ask this question that says, how can this guy be so intimate with that Godhead? Why is he that intimate with him? And the next question is, and I think we should ask this question, is why can't I have that same intimacy as he does? And I'm going to tell you, that's the reason why I believe that why we're afraid. Because we don't have that intimacy. We don't really value. We don't see the Word of God as a way of getting close to him. What it is that it is more of a, hey, you know what, convenience when I get to it. In fact, a pastor said one time, he goes, in the scripture that you guys know this, he says there are two great commandments. Do you guys know what those are? To love God with all of your heart and to love others as yourself. Now, I kind of shortened the passage, but it is to love God with all of your heart. And now let's kind of put that into the practical practical experience. Really, God is only, we say we love him, but only when it's convenient for us. So what do? We have our life's career, and I appreciate all the successes. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of you guys have graduated here, and we'll go on with some of you guys who are still, will continue to graduate, go to school, and move on with your life. But as we move towards getting to know him, really, when we get to know him, it's only at our own terms we get to know God himself. And that's why I'm going to go back to what I started out with. That's why the Bible, when I ask you guys, what has God done for you? We're very apprehensive. We're very quiet. We're very subdued with God. It's been a while. And I'm going to tell you, I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to get into his word. And then we'll... And I want you to be able to have the boldness. If you don't have the boldness here, we probably don't have the boldness out there. Does that make sense? If you guys don't have the boldness here, you probably are not doing anything out there to constitute that says, yeah, I'm doing what Jesus wants me to do. And what is that Jesus wants me to do? First of all, to love people. And then the second thing, probably is, okay, I need to witness out there and to show others. So if we're not doing it in here internally, my gut feeling is we're probably not doing it out there. And so I want to encourage you through what we're about to read, how we can do that. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, Lord, I just thank you and praise you. And I pray, Father, that today as we learn a little bit about who you are, I pray that we would gain confidence and strength. Like the book of Acts, like the book, the people of Acts, how they were transformed because when the Holy Spirit came upon them, Father, they got the boldness. They were able to speak, that you were able to give them the confidence to share the word among other people. And we ask that you would do that in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not going to ask you guys to turn to a particular passage today because I want to tell you, I love what I've been doing. Like I said to you guys, I got my theologian, my wife. She's keeping me in check all the time, and she's been a great, great resource of every single detail that I say wrong. She reminds me. But she is also a great encouragement to what she's learned. This past couple of weeks have been very, very demanding on my time. But have you guys ever read a book and you go to the end? Has anybody ever done that? And try to figure out what the story is all about and what you want to, know what, how and what. There are times, there is one show that I did do that. I used to be hooked on to call How I Met Your Mother. Okay. And so I didn't know it ended, actually. That's how much I got disconnected with the show after a while because we didn't have DirecTV anymore for free. So what happened was I didn't see it anymore, but they had it in Netflix to see. And my daughter told me, hey, you know what? How I Met Your Mother's done. I said, really? Okay. So rather than going through the tedious process of watching every episode, I went to the last one. And so when I went to the last one, I finally saw who he had been talking about. Guess what? After that, I didn't care about what had led up to that because it was done for me. And I didn't care anymore. I want to tell you something in the book of Acts. And like I said, you don't have to turn to it. You can turn to it and read it later. But I want you to hear how Israel, and it's in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus 15, responds to God. And I want you to hear some of the key words. Here's what Miriam wrote a song. I love that because a lot of people who are very musically oriented, they actually will perform, create some songs. That's why you hear great worship songs. It translates the dry words into a musical harmony that, and I love, this is the part that I'm a firm believer of. If you know music, it actually sears music and mind together. That's how God uses it and sears it into your heart. That's why a lot of the memorization, when you guys learn to play the songs, I guarantee you, you millennium groups, none of you memorize God's word just because you went up to the word of God and say, I'm going to read John 3:16, right, Atilea? Last week we asked, does anyone know John 3:16? And we were waiting for some of the kids to say, John 3:16 is for God so loved the world and so on. But a lot of you, when you learn the song, you learn it through singing. And you always ask, you know, I know that Bible verse. I know where it came from. But when I ask you, where is it in the Bible? You would go, I'm not sure, but I think it's in the New Testament. And that's exactly how we respond. We would do that. But here is how Miriam responded. And this is at the end of the book. And here's some of the things I want you to hear. How Miriam says about God. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemies. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. And here's a question. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. Now I'm going to tell you, if I just told you this story, what do you get by Miriam or the people? What is, there's a war that they may, it sounds like they were going through, but what is this end of the story indicates to you guys? Did they lose? Did those guys, did Miriam say, oh man, we lost? No, there is, she was saying, I am so glad you are my God because, and here's the story, we won the battle. I'm going to tell you why they said that. And I'm going to share the story. And then we'll conclude this. Story was, if you remember the book of Exodus, what happened? Moses was asked by God to do something miraculous. He heard the people's cry. The Lord heard his people's cry. And they were saying, we are so tired of being under the slavery of Egyptians. Please, Lord, will you send somebody to get us out of this misery? And what does he do? Do you guys remember the story? Moses sends a plague. God sends Moses and Aaron. And what were they doing? They did all the plagues, a lot of plagues. But that one thing that really tipped it over was what? They killed the firstborn. Not just the firstborn of humans, but firstborn of all animals. And what else did you see that was very majestic about who God was? Do you remember? He killed everyone, but he saved some. Do you remember who he saved? The Israelites, the people of Israelites. And what did they do? If you really remember, go ahead. They sacrificed the lamb, and then they put the blood on the doorpost. And the angel destroyer came upon them. And what happened? They were protected. So what happens? And this is the beauty about, I want you to understand this picture. The beauty about it is that Moses was told, God told Moses, I'm going to tell you right now, Moses, but by the time everything happens here, I want you to know Egypt is going to give you everything. Not just your misery, but I'm talking about gold, silver, animals that you will carry with you all the way through. Your provisions will be given, handed out, and it will come and go with you. And that happened, didn't it? In fact, in the book of, it's in the book of Exodus. You don't have to turn there. And here's what he says. The Israelites journeyed from Ramses to Sukkot, and there were about 600,000 men. Now, that's just the men. So I can imagine there's about 2 to 2.5 million people walking. And now they're going into the journey. And they were going to go up to the wilderness and into this desert. And I just want you to paint this. I want to paint this picture for you so you could see the story of who God is. So the picture unfolds is that they were traveling on their journey for 8 days. And then they finally come to this river bend, and in front of them was this desert, an open plain, and across from there was the Red Sea. And what does God do? He hardens Pharaoh's heart. And the very first reaction is, wait a minute, we just did something really stupid here. We just let go of our free services. And who's going to do all of the work? I'm not used to doing that. I have manicure that I have to do and keep my, work. I need to look good. I need to have somebody who's a maid who's going to take care of my needs. I need us to go back and get those people. And what do? He hardens Pharaoh's heart and he chases those people, the people of Israel. So they were chasing them and they finally met up with them. And here's what I want you to hear. And I love these verses. Egypt is coming upon them. And Israel is looking behind. And they're seeing a dust of smoke coming up. And they know that those are the Egyptians ready to kill them. Or to take them back to slavery. What do you think their reaction as they're looking back, especially if you're the guys in the behind, you're behind the, and you're looking at, oh man, what's all that dust up there? Oh, it's Pharaoh himself. So they get this guy from behind. Remember, that's about 2.5 million people. So the guy behind, he starts trucking all the way to the front. And what does he do? He probably goes up to Moses, and Moses, do you see that over there? Do you see that dust that are coming? That is the Egyptians. And look at what he says. I love this statement, but he says in verse 13. I want you to hear this. This is what Moses responds to the people. Moses answered the people. Well, let me go back here first. And this is the people's response. I think it's probably the same way we would respond. Here's what he said. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptian. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. To die in the desert. What just happened? I don't know what about you guys, and that's why I'm a firm believer of you coming in and studying the Word of God and sharing among the people. But if you guys react that way, in the way that when we looked at these Egyptians coming, we totally forget what he just did just a few days ago. What did God do to drive them out? He just killed the firstborn. And he protected Israel, the firstborn. And the reaction of these people were fear. And look at what he says here. And I want to just conclude with a couple things. It says here, Moses answered the people. Thank you, John. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I got to be honest, it's probably one of the hardest things to do. When in the rear, you got all these Egyptians ready to take you back, make you back a slavery. Or if you aren't going to come back as a slavery, they were going to take you back and kill you right there and then. He says, do not be afraid. And what is the next step? He says, to stand firm. You know, I heard this one man or a pastor said, and I never understood this until he finally clearly explained it. Have you guys remembered the foolish man? And I know you guys have heard me tell this story. But the foolish man built his house upon a sand. But a wise man built his house upon a rock. What do you think you imagine when you say that? Do you think you imagine a physical rock? What? Thank you, Jaisal. Yeah. It's upon Jesus. But how many of you guys build your life? What do you build it on? Do you build it on yourself? On what you accumulate? What you have built? What you have stored up on this place? And so when they say, do not be afraid, stand firm. Is it that all the stuff that you accumulated and built, is it because of what you built? And that's why, God, like Job, would we have responded the same way like Job did and say, Lord, you can take whatever you want? Or would we be like the other guy that says, Lord, why are you taking all of my stuff, all of my family? Are we standing on what we have, or is it what we're standing on what God has? But look at what he says, and this, and I'm going to look at, the Lord will bring you today the Egyptians. Can you go to the next verse, John? The Lord will fight for you. You hear the word here? You need only to be what? To be still. I got to be honest. That's not in my character to be still. It isn't. When we are in a financial problem, the very first thing I will do is to try to, and when we were, my wife and I, we were a young couple a long time ago. We were once young. And we were once with hair. Let's take it out. When we were going through, I remember her saying, and I would talk to her about our financial situation. And I would say, hey, we're kind of short here. You know what she would say to me? Very true. And I'm going to tell you honestly, she said, because we were so close to the hospital, don't worry about it. I can work overtime. So the other thing we would look at and says, do you think we can buy this stuff? He goes, yeah, don't worry about it. I can work overtime. And we can. And every single time she says that, we became more and more engrossed with stuff. To the point there are times where she might miss church or activities. And in fact, we might even miss studying the Word of God. You see, the story here is that to be still and let God is a very difficult step to do. Because it is for the very first time you will recognize that you are actually letting God do the work. And when you let God do the work, those words that Miriam just said, you would be able to say. That's why today we don't have any, we don't come up here. We find it difficult to come up here and praise God. Because you know why? Kaya ko eh. I can do it. I don't need Him. I can do it. Lord, when I need You, I will call upon You. Be still and know that He is God. The outcome is, and I'm going to close with these words. I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise Him. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is His name. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemies. In the greatness of Your majesty, You threw down those who oppose You. By the blast of Your nostrils, the waters or the Red Sea was divided. Who among the gods is like You, Lord? Who is like You, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? That's because the people of Israel stood still and waited for their God as they looked at the Egyptians. And they stood still and saw the awesomeness of who God is. It was not because of who they are. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, Lord, I just thank You and praise You. I thank You, Lord, that today as we come before You, that as we sing songs and as we play songs and read Your word, Father, being still is a very difficult part of us by letting go and letting You do the work and helping us to depend on You and You alone, Lord. But it is during those times, Father, that we realize Your greatness. Lord, I know in the midst of this, You've asked us also that where we can work together, where we work and provide, Father, You've given us strength. We know that. But there are times where there is nothing that we can do but stand before a holy God and pray. Father, I don't know today in this very room how many people are going through problems. Some of them are going through really some bad relationship problems. And so I pray, Father, that they would first meet with You and express those concerns, Father, and show how God can be truly God to them. Father, help us not to try to fix it with ourselves. And there are times, Lord, we can't even fix it. Only You can. And so that's why we come before You, Father, reading Your word and remembering those great stories that have been told so long ago, that we can, even though we can live through them, Father, those promises have never gone away. They still continue today. And so we pray, Father, that You would allow us to sit still, await from Your presence, and to share Your glory, and to give You glory, Father, for what You have done. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name, amen. Let's all stand as we sing this final song.
to your hands, I commit again with all I am. For you, Lord, you hold my world in the palm of your hand, and I am yours forever. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing with all.
Reason that you wake up? Is he the reason for you, for the reason why we live, for the reason why we're here? A man told me one time, he says, when you look after the afterlife, you will reinvest into this life, knowing what you will get for eternity. Are we investing on eternal things? Father, I just thank you and praise you for what you have done today. Father, thank you for the great stories that you've unfolded in your word. Father, we know that those stories were meant to be a beacon for us to see of who you are. Father, the outcome should be the same as what even Miriam did. Oh, Lord, I praise you. How awesome of God you are. Father, I don't know today if there are people today in this very room whose spiritual walk is so dry that they don't see that right now. Father, I pray that you would somehow, some way, restore, like what David said, restore the joy of my salvation. Father, I pray that you would do that. Father, I pray that this, they break bread with you, break bread in the physical sense, even the food. Father, that as they read your word, that they would somehow restore that joy. The joy of salvation. And Father, for us, and I put myself in this, Lord. There are times where I don't even need you. That I could do it on my own. Father, humble us. We know that we think we can. Father, as we think about breathing, as we think about all of the things that we take for granted, we know you could just, in one instant, turn that breathing off and pass us into a life. Lord, that life of eternity could either be in heaven with you or hell separated from you. Father, today, I challenge for the people who know you that they would live a life of victory and relationship. But Lord, for those who don't, Father, the door is open. He says in your word that if I knock at the door and if any man opens the door, I will eat with him and he with me. Father, I know you long for a relationship with the body. And I pray that you would find that if anyone in this room does not know you as their Lord and Savior, Father, will you convict them? And I pray, Father, that if there is someone in this room that needs to know you, I pray that they would come and ask Pastor Ed and myself or anyone among the leaders how they can come to know you. Lord, we would love to share that. We ask this, Lord, in your wonderful, precious name. Amen. Can you be seated for 1 second as we have some announcements?
Youth meeting at 1 p.m. for all the people who are going to the mission trip, or just all the youth. We have a meeting right after the service at 12:30 p.m. And I would like to remind the parents of the people, of those who are going to the mission trip about the payment. I just want to remind you. Also, couple more things. The organization where we're serving, they have asked us or requested for us to give community gifts. These are the things that the community there might be needing, and they asked us to, if we can give non-perishable food items from your pantry, maybe canned goods. So if you're willing, or if you have excess canned goods in your pantry, you can
take it out and bring it up.
Yeah, bring it to church.
Yeah.
And also, we might need air mattresses. So if you have one and you're willing to lend us your air mattresses for our trip there, that would be great too.
Yeah. This mission trip. We'll be sleeping on hard floors, but I want to try to make it as comfortable for them as possible. So air mattresses are important. The one thing that I do, I could sense Leia being very apologetic, but give us some food. Okay? I know that in Annie's covet tree or in her pantry, there's times where, 2 years ago, no, I'm just kidding. Please bring can. We are bringing these food to the organization because they are also a mission-oriented type of group. So don't be shy. We want to bring as many that we can. Last thing is to, and I put her on the spot all the time, but she hates asking for money. But you owe us money. No, for your kids, I would encourage, it's $160. So it's going to be an exciting week for them. And most of them, I think they're thinking it's a vacation. I don't know why. But we keep telling them, no, you're going to work. And so the purpose of this is so you can get a sense of what missions is is like. One last thing. Men, I want you to hear this. Men, shh. Okay, no, that's okay. I don't mind the rolling of the wheels. June 19th and the 20th, we are having the men's, it's called Recharged. It is here at 121. I'm going to ask Pastor Ed to get the list of the names who are interested. It is basically, we sit down with a bunch of men and really enjoy each other's company. How many have ever been to this, the men thing? Promise Keepers. Really? Okay. It's a great stop. Just side note, my first experience with Promise Keepers was with Chicago Stadium, the football stadium there. And the beauty about it is their worship with men. Man, they got great voices. The men have great voices, great worship. So I want to encourage you. Second thing, great teaching. So if you have time, in fact, no, I'm not asking if you have time. Make time. June 19th, Friday evening, and almost all the way up to the afternoon, morning to afternoon. And it will be at 121. How many of you guys have seen that Visit One Community Church on 121? So it's right across from Lowe's, right? Lowe's on the other side. Please give your names to Pastor Ed if you're interested. Again, June 19th through the 20th. Anybody? The zoo. Father's Day. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. Children's zoo trip. What I've heard, Lynn, tell me if I'm wrong. Please sign up with Lynn. She already has told me that some of the families that are going, this is the zoo trip. So if you have a kid, I think a great opportunity. And the families are going, right, together. So it's a great, is there any cost? The church will take her. Okay, did you hear that? 12 for adults and then 3 for kids.
Kids and the nanny.
The kids and the nanny, so I'll go then. the one last thing is, I saw two children there. There is one thing that the youth thing. Did you want to go to that, go ahead and announce it?
On June 26th, The Friday, the last Friday of the month, we invite the youth to come worship with Acts Community Church. So on Friday, we'll meet there, and I will post an email the address to the church if you want to come.
And then the last thing is about the 27th, about the worship thing.
27th, there's Celebrate Freedom. It's a free event. In South Fork Ranch, there will be a lot of worship leaders who will be performing, like Carrie Joe, Colton Dixon, Toby Mack. So it's a free event. It's an all-day event. So I just want to share with you guys.
Yeah. The key operative word is
free.
Thank you. So you have to still get tickets? Okay, so if you're interested, please connect up with Ate Lea. Anybody else with announcements? All right. I just want to say thank you for my family who will be leaving. us, my brother. I want you to just so that you guys know, that's my oldest brother, Luciano, and his wife, Fred Lynn. And then Tammy, our niece, and then my parents, Luciano and Mitzi. And then we're glad, I'm sorry, one more time, your name?
Rowan.
We're glad that you could worship with us again. I know your child's name is Rosalind. Yeah, Rosalie. So we're glad that you can come and worship with us. Is there any?
Okay.
Let's stand up, close in a word of prayer, and then we're dismissed. Father, Lord, we just thank you and praise you. Thank you for coming and meeting with us today. We ask this, Lord, in your wonderful, precious name. Amen. You are dismissed.
You're dismissed.